Our first scripture lesson comes to us today from Psalm 137. Please listen to and for the Word of God. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remember Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of Zion, of the Lord, while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem with highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. Daughters of Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to you, according to what you have done for us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Again, please listen to and for the Word of God. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only one duty. We have only done our duty. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As Anna told us, this is World Communion Sunday. Well, what does that mean? Let's think about this for just a few minutes. The world, not just Laurinburg, not just Maxton, not Robeson County, Scotland County, southeastern North Carolina, the United States, but the world. Wait a minute. The world? It's big, wide, open spaces. Is this a big deal? You bet it is. It absolutely is a big deal. Other people around the globe will celebrate at this very moment, or they already have, or will be, based on the time zones and the country in which they live. All celebrate communion at this time, the Lord's Supper. It's not Easter, it's not Maundy Thursday, it's not Christmas Eve, but it is World Communion Sunday. Worshippers around the world are doing, either have done or will do, what we are going to do later in the service. Think about that for just a minute. Everyone, every Christian around the world doing the same thing at the same time. You see, we live in a world so divided, we can't even decide what day of the week it is sometimes. But yet, we can set aside time to have communion. Is it a big deal? Oh, yeah, it absolutely is a big deal. You see, in Luke talks to us about the parable, and Jesus talks to us about the parable of the mustard seed. in children's sermons, as you've seen me do. I'll usually have a BB, and it signifies the size of a mustard seed. So imagine that. That's what Jesus is talking about, the mustard seed growing into this very large tree. But Jesus doesn't stop there. What does he do? He talks about taking a mulberry bush, having enough faith to be able to tell the mulberry bush to go be uprooted and plant itself in the sea. Now, we know that's virtually impossible, but at the same time, Jesus' point is he is admonishing his disciples. Why? Because if we have the faith, as I said, the mustard seed, the BB, then we could do that, but to what end? Jesus is admonishing his disciples because they are to use their powers of worship and the ability to have that much faith. Use it for good. Use it for others. There's a story told. We'll call this fellow, his name's Jack. Worked at this factory, had worked there for many years. Got along very well with all the employees. In fact, there were a lot of them were his friends. Great workplace. Everybody got along well. On sometimes a Monday night football or on the weekends, several of them would gather together, one person's house or another, to watch the ball games and just socialize. It was great. Then a supervisor's position came open. So Jack put in his application for that position. They called him in, interviewed him, and lo and behold, Jack gets the job. And a lot of reason why he got the job, because he got along so well with the other employees. Well, things changed. I heard somebody chuckling. You've probably been there. Y'all know of anybody who, you know, they were pretty good for a while, and then something happens to them, they get arrogant? Okay, well, imagine Jack in that position. He began berating the employees for not meeting production, not being on time, their work was shoddy, whatever it may have been. In fact, he even wrote up some of his friends. Y'all ever had a write-up or had to do a write-up? It's not good. It's a corrective interview. So Jack is writing up these people that he had worked alongside for a long time. So the atmosphere in the plant completely changed. All because of Jack and his attitude, because of this power that he now had. So, to the employees, go to the plant manager and say, hey, I'm not sure really what's going on with Jack, but he's not the same person. He won't even come over to a ball game with us like he used to do. So, plant manager had already figured out what was going on. He had heard it before, so he thought, well, I really have got to do something. So he calls Jack in. Jack, how are things going in the plant? Jack says, it's okay, but no, they're really not. He said, I'm very frustrated. Why are you frustrated, Jack? Well, these employees, they won't do what I tell them to do. Their work is not as it's supposed to be. Some of them come in a little bit late. Their attitudes are bad. Plant manager said, really? Well, didn't you all used to hang out with one another? Sometimes go to each other's houses to watch ball games. Jack says, yeah. He said, but I read a book that told me that people who are given a supervisory position aren't supposed to fraternize with the workers. Plant manager said, really? Have you got that book? Yeah. So Jack leaves, goes to his office, comes back with the book. Plant manager looks at the book, he throws it in the trash. Jack's sitting there stunned. Plant manager said, that's hogwash. He said, but I'm going to take responsibility for what has taken place. And that is, I assumed you would do everything like we needed it to be done, but since you've read that book, I personally allowed you to change. So, Jack, book's in the trash. We're not going to pay any attention to that anymore. Now, everybody take a deep breath. We're going to start all over again. So he sat down with Jack and they worked through all the things that had taken place. And at that point, it became very obvious that Jack could and would be the supervisor that was expected. And the whole attitude in the plant changed. So you see, this opportunity that Jesus gives his disciples of this power, but he talks to them about using it for good, not for their own satisfaction. So, once this atmosphere in the plant changed, everything was good again. So you see, this responsibility that people have of being able to have that much faith should be used to help others. Remember last week, we played the song. In fact, I got to tell this story. So last week, we had another day in paradise. You all remember it very well. Well, after the service, I went back to thank Dan for playing the song. And Dan says, well, it's kind of funny because the fellow on the board at WLNC texted Dan and said, are you all playing Phil Collins? Dan says, yes. So everybody's just... But the point to Phil Collins' song and the story from last week was people have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to serve others. We've been given a lot. We know that. But what are we going to do with it? How can we help and serve others? What can we do? How much time does it take for us to commit to helping others? You see, Jesus also, like many others, masters, think about what happens in the field. And so Jesus tells this story about this master who has his employees, his servants, if you will, out in the fields cutting the vines. So he calls them in. Day is over. And Jesus asks the question, what would happen if that master, who has the right to do it and has probably done it many times, instead of saying, yes, I know you're tired from working in the field, come in now and fix my dinner. Snap to it. I know you're tired. Doesn't matter. This is your job. Jesus says, what if that gets turned around to where the master says, please come in, sit for a little while. We'll have dinner in a little bit. And then, what if, miracle of miracles, the master says, please, come in. I'll help you fix supper. Let's dine together. What? How radical. How radical is that? You see, this is what Jesus expects from us. Radical thinking. Yes, radical. But Jesus has already taught us what we need to do. And all we need to do is just follow through. Take that little bit of faith that we've got and spread it around. Treat others as we want to be treated. Amen.